If someone were to come up to you and say, "Who are you?" how would you define yourself? Well, when I was 19, I had the privilege of going to Korea. And I remember visiting my younger uncle. And he was sitting across from me quite regally, cross-legged on the floor, and I on my knees, as was custom, in front of him. And I remember very distinctly him telling me, "You are Korean. You are Korean because your blood is Korean." Well, of course, what do I say to that? I'm not allowed to talk back. And even if I had wanted to talk back in that moment, my mind was in a whirlwind of confusion. Who was I? Was I Korean because my blood is Korean? My passport says I'm Canadian. My faith says I'm Christian. Who am I? So when I came back to Toronto at the end of the summer, I have to confess, I was in a bit of an identity crisis. Who are you? Blood. Whether you are A, B, AB or O, positive or negative, we all have blood flowing through our veins, and we need it to get our heart pumping, to get our brains working. We need blood. But blood is not just physiological, as my uncle definitely exemplified. It is very significant to people in terms of identity. But does it really give us our identity? For example, what about my kids? They're half Chinese on their dad's side in terms of ethnicity, half Korean on the other side. They might look fully Asian, but they're not pure. I remember my son asking my husband, "What are we?" And I was trying to go into this whole explanation of our ethnicity, and he simply said, "You're Canadian." But is that really who we are? What happens when you have a parent with whom you are blood related to and you want nothing to do with them? Or you have no idea who they are? What makes us who we are? A job? A role? A status? A label? What we possess or what we post, fill in the blank. We live in a world of have and have nots. We live in a world that adores success and identifies success by accomplishments and possessions and what money can buy. We like to think we live in a nation of equal opportunity and pay, but we really don't. We like to think we live in a nation that isn't racist, but people still experience racism. We like to think we love the sinner and not the sin, but do we really? Who are we? What defines us? According to the Apostle Paul, we are God's children. Both Gentiles, we who are not Jewish, that's the meaning of Gentiles, and our Jewish relations. When we believe in the good news of the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us, we both stand on the same ground before God. We both receive the same invitation to be children of God and to receive help and the promises of Jesus Christ. The message of the good news is for everyone. The good news of peace and justice, unconditional love, and new beginnings through forgiveness. This good news is to be accessible to everyone and welcome everyone. And that is the reason why this particular passage from Ephesians is part of our Epiphany lectionary. The story of the Magi that we sang about in our opening hymn is the mysterious plan that Paul talks about God revealing to him. Mysterious because it is in some ways unsearchable. hear these wise men, and not necessarily three. These wise men follow the light. These outsiders, these foreigners, they follow the light. And they come across God in flesh as an infant. When was the last time you held an infant? And how precious was that child? And how carefully did you hold that child? God contained God's glory. Why? Not just for Israel, but for all the world. But we often lose the wonder of this miracle of the Creator choosing to contain all glory and power, tenderness and love into a being humanity could touch in a point in history and learn about and experience for all of time. The wonder of the Creator choosing to reveal God's self through the Christ child is sort of like, but not exactly like, being able to touch the Milky Way with the pads of our finger. The wonder of the Creator choosing to reveal God's self through the Christ child is sort of like, but not exactly like, being able to know and understand everything. The wonder of the Creator choosing to reveal God's self through the Christ child is sort of like, but not exactly like, being able to experience your favorite moment and never be bored. But the aspect of God's revelation we celebrate this Sunday is that Jesus Christ is for all of humanity. That is Epiphany. That is what we celebrate. Not just for people we like or who are like us, but for everyone. No matter the color of our skin, the texture of our hair, the shape of our eyes, it does not matter. For we are all created by God. And because Jesus Christ is for everyone, the Apostle Paul writes that this special responsibility given to him from God is for him to say to the church that God's purpose was to use the church to display God's wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was God's eternal plan, which God carried out through Jesus Christ our Lord. The church, us, who we are, the body of Christ, God's children. Our purpose is to display God's wisdom in its rich variety. Rich variety. As we worship this Epiphany Sunday, the Creator who chose to reveal God's self through a human child, how are we, the church, making plain and open God's wisdom in its rich variety? There are difficult realities before us. I have to admit, it was with dread I was watching the news last night. I had read earlier about the death of Qassem Soleimani, but hadn't realized until yesterday that it was a drone attack that had killed him, that was ordered by President Trump. There are already tensions in the Middle East, and they are simply growing. There are raging wildfires in Australia, and as Canadians, we have heard their plea and have sent firefighters. There is catastrophic flooding in Indonesia. There is incredible economic distress in Zimbabwe and Venezuela. There is the persecution of the Kurds and more. How do we, the church, come boldly and confidently into God's presence, empowered by the Holy Spirit in inner strength, to make plain and open the wisdom of God in its rich variety? Who are we? Who are we? How do we respond? Is it just about me and my family? Is it just about me and my church in this particular neighborhood? Is it just about our friends and the people we know? Who are we on this Epiphany Sunday? And how do we shine the light of Christ the way that Star of Bethlehem shone for that three wise men? We come, I hope, boldly and confidently together on a Sunday morning to worship. But this is not the only way for us to come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Sunday worship is perhaps like your Christmas feast or a family gathering where we have lots of members gathered together over a lovely abundance of dishes. But we need to eat every day, and our souls need to be fed every day. There is this expression, how many of you heard, we are what we eat? Yeah, a few of us? I would like to suggest this morning, we are who we worship. We are what we worship. Who are you? Who am I? Who are we as the body of Christ, the church? As we celebrate this wondrous mystery revealed that Christ came for all on this Epiphany Sunday, may we remember that God's love knows no bounds, no bounds. Our God's desire to be with us is deeper than the ocean. And God's generosity is larger than the universe. Oh, that we would live from this wonderful truth and shine the light of Jesus Christ. Amen.